Good afternoon, BBF family. It's Brian and Bob here for another weekly podcast. It's Tuesday, May 12th. You probably won't be looking at this until Wednesday, but that's okay. We are here again for another of our weekly podcast. This week, we're going to be doing another group of spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking to you about until we finish this. I think we will either finish this week, Brian, or next week. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. It's great to be here. Great to be on a podcast with you, as always. I have a great time with this. And yeah, I think we've got about 8 more gifts to cover. And some of them are, you know, may or may not be gifts, depending on personal interpretation. But 8 more things that we were going to cover. So we're just going to kind of play it by ear, evaluate as we go today. And we may, you know, get through 4 or 5 and stop. And we may go all the way through 8. Just depends on how the Spirit leads us.
Exactly. All right. Well, will you open us in a prayer?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. Thank you so much for this opportunity to join with Bob on the podcast and to, in some sense, stay connected with our family, even though it's not live. We know that y'all are listening. Y'all are engaging with us. And so in some way, we are connected, do feel connected with you. And so, Lord, I just praise you and thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your creativity. I thank you for this series that you've had us in that we may be wrapping up today. And I pray as we continue to cover these last few gifts, I pray that you would just, I pray you'd speak through us. I pray you'd give us your perspective, your words, and I pray you'd give us your clarity. I pray you'd make certain gifts or certain aspects here that may be confusing, and I'm sure that there are some. I pray that you would give us the words, just would your Holy Spirit speak through us in a way that would cause people to really grasp this, really understand it, really be encouraged by it, be ministered to by it, and perhaps be challenged by it. So Lord, we love you. We commit this podcast to you. We commit this study and this series to you, and we look forward to seeing what you're going to do and how you're going to speak through each of us. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to start with healing, evangelism, giving, and hospitality, and then see where we go from there, depending on time. But before we get into that, see, what kind of announcements do we have? I don't know about announcements. I was able to get out today, Brian, and see a few people.
There you
had
go.
Had a great time talking to Bob Warzala down at Dorado's, and was able to say hi to Bob Wilson. Saw a few others walking along the street, but didn't have an opportunity to talk to them. But that was very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, you've got the 11-to-1 window, man. You get to see everybody.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate because you and I have talked about this a lot, even not on the podcast, how much we just miss the personal interaction of getting together with our flock.
Yeah, and you know, my window is dependent on whether, you know, I'm supposed to follow my passport or my schedule. You know, generally I get out with my passport time. And you know, my window is 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. There is nobody out, and not even all the businesses are open during that time.
I'm not sure our congregation's even up by that time.
a lot of them are. Maybe there's some that aren't. You're probably right.
And I know David Oldenburg is. Dave gets up at like 5 in the morning. He's an early riser.
We've got a few early risers and early going to bedders, whatever you want to call that. Man, I mean, Dave, yeah, that man, he's consistent. You know, he's in the bed on time and he's up early. That's what I'm talking about.
It's great. Well, what kind of announcements do we have this week? I mean, we have the usual announcements we want to remind people about. You know, the importance of the faith and action ministry, the helping to feed the people who can't get out, who can't work, the local people who are struggling just for basic necessities, the food to feed their families. And yeah. Lee Wisdom is still handling that for us with our associated ministries. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping and praying that that continues to go well and people just open up their hearts and keep bringing him food to be able to hand out.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. And it seems like that's going fairly well. It seems like, I think I mentioned this last week, it seems like our ministries, the ones that I've been in contact with, are fairly well supplied and able to meet the needs that God's calling them to meet with some of their neighbors in their community right now. And are prepared to do that for the next maybe 3 weeks or so. And then at that point, there's going to be some more tougher times setting in. So we're definitely trying to think ahead, plan ahead, certainly with our participation in the Faith in Action ministry. You know, getting being able to contribute in some sense is going to help it not be a drop-off, so to speak, help it to maintain their the resources and all that. So So yeah, it seems like it's going well, but you know, just like you're saying, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to get involved.
Well, we're still doing our services online. We still have that every Sunday. The next first group to open is going to be opening tomorrow, and that includes some building materials and things like that. Churches and houses of worship come into group two, and don't know if that's going to be the week after or 2-3 weeks, but after tomorrow, the very next group that the country plans to open includes houses of worship. So let's pray that that happens sooner than later, because I went by the church today during my time off, and the weeds in front were about a foot tall, foot and a half tall, and the place was dusty inside, needed cleaning. The bar area was covered in leaves, and it's just not a fun thing to see a church that's empty and unused.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you know, for anybody listening, I assume everybody listening is, you know, fairly up to date with news and all that kind of stuff. But you know, they dropped yesterday, last night, they released some of how they plan to reopen the economy and kind of in stages. And you know, the first stage, like you said, begins tomorrow. The next stage involves churches, but there's not a definitive, you know, here's the date that phase two will start. You know, we don't know if that'll be weeks or months or days. Probably not days, probably weeks or months. But hopefully weeks and not months. Hopefully that'll be fairly soon. And obviously there's been speculation in a variety of maybe articles and news sources that have said different things on what that might look like with social distancing measures in the church and things like that. So, you know, they've not released exactly what that'll look like. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
That's right. And small groups are still meeting. There's the Wednesday evening group with James Fuller. And then there's the Thursday afternoon group that I lead. And if anybody has any interest, those are ongoing groups that are meeting through online video conferencing. Jim Fuller uses Microsoft Teams, and the Thursday group is using Zoom. So we are wide open for more people who are interested in Bible study and just get together. We have a lot of fun just laughing and talking about things also. So if you want to just take some time out from what you're normally doing, please join us either on Wednesday evening or Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bob, you want to start us off here with kind of the what we're going to be doing today and the direction we want to move in?
Well, we're back in the spiritual gifts, and we're going to start with the four being healing, evangelism, giving, and hospitality. I guess why don't we just dig right in and start with healing? The gift of healing, the divine strength or ability to act as an intermediary in faith, prayer, and by the laying on of hands for the healing of physical, mental, or spiritual sickness. And there's some wonderful examples in the Bible about that.
That was a mouthful, Bob. And another classic, I don't remember what we were calling it, textbook definition, whatever you called it last week.
The canned definition. Yeah. You know, Brian, I got to tell you something. Whenever I look at this gift of healing, I sometimes get a little confused, because when I go through some of the great healings that you see throughout Acts or other areas of the Bible, I have to wonder if that's not also, I mean, a lot of it involves just miracles. And, you know, the healing is miraculous. It's more than just, you know, getting rid of somebody's sniffles or curing somebody of this, that, the other thing. A lot of these healings are miraculous in nature. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we kind of talked about this on our own. I don't think we talked about this yet. Maybe we did, and I just don't remember. Did we talk about the quote-unquote gift of miracles, or did we kind of loop that in with apostles and things that stopped?
I think we backed into it with apostles, but I don't know if we covered it very well.
Okay, yeah. And so I know you and I talked about it, so that's why I'm having a hard time remembering whether or not we covered it here. But for sure, you know, we don't believe that there's individuals who are walking around with the ability to perform miracles in and of themselves at will. And so, you know, that would apply to the gift of healing as well. You know, I believe you're right here with me. You know, we don't believe that there's individuals who quote unquote have the gift of healing, and therefore they just kind of go sit on a street corner and anybody that pulls up and anybody that, you know, wants to be healed can be healed. You know, only Jesus and, you know, obviously the apostles had that ability. You know, that's kind of our perspective. And so does that mean that the gift of healing doesn't exist or that it's ceased? No, I would not say that. I would just say, you know, kind of here's what it is and here's what it isn't. So you want to maybe you tackle with what it is and I'll tackle with what it isn't.
I'll be honest with you here. I haven't done a lot of research on this, and I've never been very, very clear on exactly how this gift today manifests itself. I believe that gift exists today.
Yeah.
I believe that, and outside that gift, I believe God can perform any miracle that He wishes to perform on His earth, in His universe. But as far how this manifests itself today, I don't know, because in my mind, almost any laying on of hands that creates an immediate change in the physical or mental or spiritual sicknesses has some miraculous nature to it. So it's hard for me to really dig into this, Brian, because I don't have a lot of background in it. I don't have a lot of good ideas of how it manifests itself.
Yeah, well, you're definitely digging. You know, like you said, it's so related to miracles. You know, and that's really what this is. If somebody's going to experience a divine healing, I mean, that is a miracle. So I've been, you know, James 5 talks about, you know, calling the elders together and laying on hands on a sick and praying for them. And so that's the direction I go with this. And so I've heard of several people that claim to have the gift of healing. So I guess I'll talk about what it is and isn't. You know, what it isn't is what I already said. It's not somebody that, you know, this is the guy you go to and he'll just heal whatever ails you. No, what it is, kind of like you said with the definition, you know, it's a divine thing, you know, miraculous thing where God's working through a person. And so, you know, there's no glory, there's no anything to the person, you know. So let's say, Bob, you have the gift of healing. Okay, so basically what that means is God may or may not, you know, God may choose to work through you at some point, but you're going to pray, you're going to lay hands on people, you're going to pray for them. You're going to intercede for them. You're specifically going to be asking for healing. You're probably going to anoint them with oil. And so we're going to kind of follow the procedures here. And we're going to be asking the Lord to heal them. And will He do that or will He not? You know, we don't know. He may and He may not. And, you know, His will be done, so to speak. And so I guess the way I see it is, if you have the gift of healing, that may all happen, and then God may choose to use you. He may choose to work through your laying of hands and through your prayers and through your anointing of oil and kind of following that procedure. He may choose to work through you to bring healing to this person in a way that had you not gone and done those things, that they wouldn't have just experienced healing. And so it's almost, you know, it's similar to the way we experience God or receive God in a new birth or evangelize and stuff like that. You know, could he snap his fingers and evangelize someone and they receive the gospel and on and on? Of course. Is it necessary? You know, do we have to be the ones to share the gospel? No. You know, of course God can do it without us. And yet he chooses, and we'll talk about this in a minute when we get to evangelism, he chooses often to work through us to share the gospel. And so I see it in a similar vein here where he's choosing at that time to work through this person to bring healing to another person in a rather miraculous way. This isn't just, well, you know, we kind of took Advil and felt better. This is, you know, I was deaf and, you know, I couldn't hear out of this ear and now I can hear, or, you know, I was lame. And, you know, it's clearly miraculous. It's clearly God was involved here. This is not something that I did, not something I'm capable of doing because I have this gift or because God worked through me. It does not mean that I have the ability to do this with everybody. And so that's kind of the way I view it. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I don't disagree at all. But based on that wonderful explanation you just give, it would seem logical to me then that the person who's ends up exercising such a gift would have to have a very, very deep level of faith.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong here? I mean, it would seem that this is a person. I mean, it just seems logical that person would just have a depth of faith that would be extraordinary.
Yeah, I'm sure not going to argue that. You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say, you know, here's kind of the requirements of people with the gift of healing. You know, they've got to have, you know, kind of this threshold of faith necessarily. But, you know, I mean, you know, Jesus talks about what he can do with the faith the size of a mustard seed, you know, so, you know, they're going to at least have that amount of faith. And then God's going to be able to do incredible, miraculous things. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I tend to think that, you know, this person would almost, you know, they would almost have a, we're going to talk about the gift of faith in a little while, maybe next week, maybe not this week, but it's almost like they've got an extra dose where they're really believing God's going to heal in a way that, you know, maybe some of us are more skeptical and don't believe that God's going to heal. And so it's like he works through that faith. He works through that belief and that that faith that that person has in him to bring about, you know, his change, to bring about this miracle, to bring about glorifying himself and healing this person.
So the main difference for healing is we're not dealing with people who are operating in the same way that the apostles operated, able to go around at almost any time with the miraculous powers to be able to heal people at will.
Because, raise people from the dead, you know. Right,
as founders of the church. We're dealing with healing today that happens from when people exercise their faith, they anoint people, they pray to God for them, and then whether God heals them or not is really a different situation.
Totally up to God. I mean, it's all right. At God's sovereign will. It's not our sovereign will, whoever we want to heal. And kind of the length that we're putting into this one kind of tells me, Rob, we're only going to do these four, and we'll do the next four next week. But I think this is a good one. I think this is, you know, the gift of healing is one that tends to possess confusion. And, you know, we talked about it in Ricky's study a little bit, you know, a couple of months ago, but I feel like we ought to touch on it right now. Is that, you know, some of the false teachings and stuff like the NAR, for example, New Apostolic Reformation, they teach that there's going to be these quote unquote super apostles and these super prophets that are gifted with the ability to do miracles, they're gifted to do miracles that were better and more extravagant than the apostles, than the founding apostles were. And so they literally teach that these quote unquote super apostles are going to be able to walk up to hospitals and just kind of lay their hands on the side of the bricks and everyone in the hospital is going to be healed. I mean, they teach stuff like that, which to me is, you know, I don't see any basis for that at all. You know, there's nothing that tells us that's going to come, and there's nothing that tells us that's how this gift is in operation today or has ever been in operation.
That sounds very much the way Satan works throughout people's minds and spirit to get them to put somebody or themselves up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Satan loves putting people up on a pedestal. You call them whatever you want to call them, give them whatever title you want to give them. But as soon as you put somebody up on a pedestal, Satan knows he can knock it down.
Yeah. Well, I feel like once you put, you know, Satan loves putting people on pedestals, like you said. And I feel that, you know, if somebody gets put on a pedestal, if somebody either gets put or puts themselves on a pedestal, I feel like God is obligated to knock them down. God can't just let them be there. So that, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. I agree, put me on a pedestal, Bob.
No, I agree, brother. All right. Well, that's healing. Now let's go to evangelism, the divine gift or ability to help non-Christians take the necessary steps to become born again believers.
Absolutely. You want me to expand, or you expand first?
Well, we got some great verses in the Bible. Philip's a good example. You can read about Philip in Acts 8, mm-hmm. Where he went down to the city of Samaria. If you all remember, Philip was one of the seven who was chosen to serve in Acts 4. And so later on, we find out that Philip was doing a lot more than just serving the basic needs of the people. He became an evangelist. Mm-hmm. And in Acts 8, he went down to Samaria and proclaimed to the crowds. And later on in Acts, he met the Ethiopian eunuch and who was reading Isaiah. You can go to Acts 14, Acts 21, Paul at Caesarea. There's some great verses on evangelism. People who seem to have that ability to just talk to non-believers, and the way they expound on their faith, the way they witness, is able to get through to the person through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. And just seem to reach into them and help them to see the value of a relationship with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great definition. I guess all I would really add there is, I might add into that definition unusual in an unusual way. Because, you know, are all of us, you know, Christians, are we all called to evangelize? Yes and no, I guess, but are we all called to share the gospel? Are we all called to, you know, preach the good news and take part in the Great Commission? Well, of course we are. And so, you know, in a sense, in some way, you know, we're all called to evangelism, and yet we're not all gifted with the spiritual gift of evangelism. So kind of what does that look like? What's those what's the differences there? And I'm saying, you know, kind of the difference is this extra measure, or kind of last week I used this, you know, this is not a biblical term at all. This is what's coming to mind to describe it. Extra dose, you know, what comes to mind is Elisha and Elijah, you know, where Elisha asked for a kind of an extra measure, a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And so in no way does that apply to this, but that's just kind of the illustration I'm using here, is where it's as if this person who's gifted with the gift of evangelism has an extra portion, an extra ability. God really works through them. Perhaps they're able to communicate well. They present the gospel well, and God uses them. They are not great in and of themselves. They do not save people or cause people to come to faith. God works through them as they present the gospel in a very gifted way that is probably where I said unusual. It's just kind of an extra measure. So it's going to be different. Perhaps I'm hesitant to say better. You know, I don't want to say necessarily better than the average Christian who doesn't have that gift, but it's just different. It's just different.
Well, let's be clear. The gift of evangelism can happen here at home, or it can happen overseas. It's different than the gift of apostleship. When we talked about apostleship, we talked about this unique desire to go forth like pioneers into far-flung lands. Evangelism can happen next door. Evangelism can happen overseas. Evangelism can happen anywhere.
It can happen over the podcast.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's be clear about the difference between those two. Anything else you have to say on evangelism?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. You know, it's just, you know, I don't want people to, I feel like we, as the body of Christ, I think the, you know, globally speaking, as the global church, I think we tend to fall, you know, certainly in the Western realm, we tend to fall into this category of, you know, well, you know, that's kind of for the pastors and the evangelists, you know, and, you know, those people are the ones that share the gospel. And those are the ones that kind of preach the good news. And, you know, I'm just not wired that way. I'm not gifted that way. And yet, you know, so then we kind of toss out the command that, you know, Jesus gives us, you know, gives every single one of us, even those who are not wired that way, to share the gospel. And does God use people who are not wired that way and are not gifted that way and are not skilled that way to reach the lost and to bring them and lead them into a saving relationship with himself? Does God do that? Of course God does that. And so I don't want to in any way reinforce the false belief that because I do not have this gift and because I feel inferior, because maybe I have a gift that's much less prominent and more introverted, because I'm that way or have those giftings, therefore I cannot do this, or I cannot evangelize, I can't share the good news. That's just not true. And I think that's a lie from the pit of hell that the enemy wants us to believe and kind of buy into, so that we'll just not participate in the Great Commission.
I think there's a significant difference between evangelism and witnessing.
Right.
Evangelism is a special gift. All right. Witnessing is what you do when you're talking to other people about your life in Christ. And anybody can witness when they're talking to a neighbor or a sister or a parent or a child.
Yeah.
Right. So I think some people get kind of caught up and they think, well, I've got to talk about Jesus. That means I've got to become an evangelist. No.
Right.
No. And you can witness to somebody how you live your life. You can witness somebody when you're talking to them. You can witness to people in a variety of different ways that don't require the gift of evangelism.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think we see, you know, certainly now in this digital age, you know, we see videos and things of people kind of, you know, we see here's kind of what the evangelist looks like. You know, he goes and he asks these kind of questions and he's, you know, real quick on his feet and he, you know, he kind of answers these skeptical questions and he kind of, you know, it's real methodical and he kind of goes through this process. He's very skilled, very rehearsed. He's very prepared. And, you know, and I'm just not that way. You know, I'm not prepared. I'm not rehearsed. I'm not, you know, so I can't do that. And we kind of loop it all together and say, well, that's kind of what it is. Whereas what you're saying is, no, you know, that's just one application. That's just one way of doing it. There's a whole lot of ways of doing it, like you just covered.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is very good.
All right. Our next spiritual gift is giving or generosity, the ability, strength or ability to produce wealth and to give by tithes and offerings for the purposes of advancing the kingdom of God on earth. And then you and I kind of talked a little bit about whether that included hospitality or whether that was a special, separate gift. Not that it's a major issue of theology, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But there's a lot of great examples of of giving and generosity. The most famous, I think, is from Mark 12, the widow's offering, where she gives her last 2 cents or 2 mites, they call it. And Jesus is just kind of amazed at this poor lady who's given everything she has. It's very small, but it's everything. Where the wealthy person, it looks like he's giving a lot, but it's a very, very small amount of what he actually possesses.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I would tweak that definition, Bob, just a little bit. I kind of wrote in a separate definition here for myself. Kind of here's how I would word it. You know, the gift of giving is, you know, again, to use the language you use, the divine strength or the ability. I would say to give in unusual ways for the purpose of glorifying God and advancing his kingdom on earth. So really all I did there was I think in the definition you used, it has something to do with producing wealth and then giving that. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I like your definition better. This canned definition that I pulled, added in the ability to produce wealth. And I don't really think that's a necessary part of a spiritual gift. I think you can have the gift of giving and generosity if you're a poor person, as we see in the example from Mark.
Yeah, as the one you just shared. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And for sure, I think a person who has an extraordinary ability to generate wealth, you know, whatever that looks like, could also possess the gift of giving. So that's one application. It's just not limited to that. So, for example, I know there's a couple of big name, pastors and authors and stuff like that I follow and keep up with. And one of them, I won't cite them by name. One of them makes, nearly $1 million a year on book sales. And he brings in, he's still on salary at the church, and his salary is, not much more than what I make. It's not a big salary, but, he doesn't need a big salary because he's got, everything coming in from the books, and he gives pretty much, not everything, but almost everything from the books. And so, it's like he's 95% of what he's, almost of what he's bringing in is being tied, is being given back to the church and other ministries and stuff. And so I would say God's using him to through the writing and through speaking and things like that, touring, God's using him to generate incredible wealth. And then he's given virtually all of it back to the kingdom of God, for God's glory and for the advancement of the kingdom. So I think that's one application, but like you're saying, can a poor person have the gift of giving? Well, I would say, of course they can. And you did an excellent example of what that looks like.
Let's be clear about something though. The gift of giving or generosity has to be done in the right spirit in order for it to be a gift, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Which means we're not focused on what?
Well, that's a good question. That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah. Well,
you have to be focused on the Lord. It has to be done in a cheerful manner. There has to be a real desire in my, the person who has this gift of giving and generosity has a desire to share. I mean, it really comes from within. It's not where they're checking the box. If you're giving and checking the box, that's really just not your gift.
Yeah. Well, then that's legalism. That's not kind of the way he lays it out for us. And in 1 Corinthians, what giving is, Christian giving looks like. And we've certainly taught on that before. We've never referenced this, publicly before, and I think now's an appropriate time. I don't think this is inappropriate, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I've been told stories. I sit on the front row, and so I don't see this. And I wasn't told by you. I was told by some other people who were in, just in the congregation at church, just sitting in the chairs. And I've been told stories by multiple people now that there are some, and I don't know who it is, which is good for me. I don't want to know who it is, but there's some in our, in our flock that sit in a church that when the offering basket's passed around, they'll kind of put their hand like they're going to put something in it. They kind of pretend like they're putting something in it, and then they pass it. But they're not actually putting something in it. And so I would say, if we're doing that, it seems like, our heart's in the wrong spot. It seems like we're trying to get people to see us and try to make people believe we're giving. And, we're kind of giving for the, kind of like the Pharisees that gave coins, bang, they threw it in, it just clanged and, clamored and incredibly loud, drew all kinds of attention to themselves. And Jesus tells us, we've received our reward, our reward before men. There's not reward in heaven. And so I would say, our focus needs to be my focus is not, I want people to see me give. You know, I don't want people to see me give, and I don't want people to know what I'm giving. That's not, you know, anybody's business but mine, you know, between me and the Lord. And I'm giving to please God, you know, and whether that be sacrificially or not, it's for the glory of God and just, you know, to contributing to his kingdom. And I want to please him and I want to honor him, and on and on and on. You know, the perspective is not public and other people. So I would, you know, I think that's an example that helps to illustrate some of what you're talking about here with where our heart's got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Lord wants us to be focused on the right things when we give, when we do anything for him. It really shouldn't be on ourselves or how we appear or superficial things that are things of the world. That's really what he wants us to get away from. He wants us, that's why we have that pattern, that model of Jesus Christ that he gave us for 3 years to be able to pattern ourselves off.
Yeah. And for those who are listening to this, this is a great, you know, what we're talking about right this minute is a great lead in to what I'll be preaching on this Sunday. This Sunday I'm preaching, open it up right now. It's in I'll be covering Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through chapter 4, verse 1. And specifically what you said, you know, it says, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. And then it says, you know, further down in verse 24, it says, do it for your serving God. You're serving Jesus Christ. And so we're to do it with that mindset. Just like, you know, exactly what you just said, whatever we do, whether it's, you know, giving finances or giving some other things, or even if it's not giving, but whatever we're doing is to have that mindset as born again believers.
All right. Well, let's expand on giving, or not expand on giving as it may be. We discussed before we started the hospitality.
Well, before you hop into hospitality, just touch real quick. Is there any other way, Bob, that someone can give other than financially?
Oh, they can give of their time. They can give of their talents. It's not just financial giving. I mean, you can, if you see somebody who's in despair, just sitting down and talking to them and giving yourself for a while, there's various ways you can give.
Yeah. No, and I think I totally agree. And I think that's a big one to cover there, because, you know, to say, well, because I'm poor, I can't give, or maybe because I literally have nothing, and therefore I literally don't have anything to give. You know, I just don't think that's true. I think we can still have the gift of giving, and where God gives us kind of he gives us this unusual or supernatural perspective or ability to give, whether it's, like you said, whether it's our money, other resources, time, talents, abilities, patience, a variety of things. You know, the example you just used of giving of yourself, you know, I made a note of, you know, the example of a shepherd, for example, you or me, but it's not in any way limited to shepherds, but of a shepherd or maybe a counselor or a disciple or a mentor kind of giving of themselves to the person that they're ministering to, in a way, maybe when they're just totally spent. And so, you know, it's like you just got done teaching, you just got done leading. I mean, you are exhausted. You're done. I mean, you're kind of useless and worthless at this point. You just need to go home, and you'll be worth more a little more tomorrow. And yet you are able, you kind of get this supernatural enabling to give of yourself in a way there that ministers to them greatly. So I think that fits as well, Bob.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. All right. So this next one we're going to bring up, this next topic, I want to hear from all of you, any of you who are listening. I want your opinion, all right? Because Brian and I kind of went back and forth. Again, this is not a major theological issue. It doesn't affect salvation. So it's really not anything to be concerned about. But we're kind of not sure. I'm kind of leaning on this idea of the gift of hospitality, that it's included with giving and generosity, that it's not a separate spiritual gift. And I think Brian, maybe, I'm not positive, leading that, well, it might be a spiritual gift. So I'd like to, after you hear us talking and discussing this today, I'd like to hear from you all. Brian would like to hear from you all. What are your thoughts on is hospitality a separate gift? Brian, it says on the canned version that I pulled down, it listed hospitality as the divine strength or ability to create warm, welcoming environments for other places such as your home, office, church, and it gave some biblical passages that showed people inviting people to stay at their house, but it really isn't listed with the other spiritual gifts when you go to those sections in the Bible that list spiritual gifts. What are your thoughts here?
My thoughts are, it seems like there, you know, obviously we're not going to take a real dogmatic stance that's divisive in any way. I mean, this is so non-essential and so minor, but it seems to me that there's some things, you know, if you were to Google, for example, spiritual gifts, you know, you're going to find, you know, 100 different perspectives on what, you know, obviously you're going to have tons of overlap, but then there's going to be some that say, well, this is, and this isn't, and this is, and this isn't, right. That is, but this isn't, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, certainly this is one of them. And so, you know, could it be a spiritual gift? I think so. Is it necessarily? I'm with you where I'm just not real sure. I certainly see where, you know, virtually everything that's involved in hospitality could fit into giving and generosity in that sense. It's giving of yourself, really. But, you know, kind of like you said, the definition being, you know, being able to create warm, welcoming environments for others in places such as your home or your office or your church. And obviously that's a, you know, it could go beyond that. And so I would say, you know, kind of what would you say here? What, if this is a gift, what would this, the person that possesses this gift kind of look like? What would describe them in the way that they act and interact?
I got to be honest with you. I think, not that I wouldn't be honest with you, but I have to tell you, I think we're looking at the exact same characteristics of the giving, generous person.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. And I would just add to it, you know, because I know I've been around people that are unusually hospitable. And so either they have this gift or they're just unusually hospitable, or it's just, they have the gift of giving. And maybe this is one of the applications that they have for it. And the people that I've been around like this, you know, one, they probably like hosting, and it's not a hosting like I really want, you know, a popularity contest, and I really want people to see my house and all my rich, fancy stuff, and, you know, I want to kind of put myself up on a pedestal. It's not that at all. It could be a really poor environment, and they still want to host and treat others and take care of others and minister to others in that sense. So there's that mindset. But then also, I kind of, you know, I made note of this. I made note of this that I tend to classify people. It seems like more often than not, it's women that fall into this category, though it's certainly not limited to women. And I tend to think that they're sweet. I say, you know, she was real sweet in the way that she, you know, did whatever it is she did. And so an example would be, you know, I tend to think Rachel has this gift, and Rachel does not love hosting. I think she enjoys hosting when we're not, you know, totally busy with Addie, stuff like that. But Rachel, when we're hosting, Rachel thinks of things that I would never think of. I mean, it goes beyond, you know, Southern upbringing and manners and compassion. It goes beyond that politeness and common courtesy. It's something extra. It's an unusual way of seeing needs and perhaps even desires, not just needs, of the person who's visiting, of the person that you're ministering to. And so Rachel, you know, I know when my family has come into town and they've stayed the night with us over a year ago now, but when they do that, you know, well, you know, can I get you a blanket, or can I get you an extra pair of this, or can I get you a glass of water, can I get you this? And it's like those kind of questions are constantly going through Rachel's head. And, you know, me, I'm just like, you know, if they're thirsty, they can get it, or, you know, they can ask me for it, but, you know, I'll certainly provide it. But, you know, I'm not asking them 10 times throughout the evening if they want something to drink. But Rachel's, you know, the other way around. She's always asking. And, you know, I'm thinking this is futile and useless. You know, if they were thirsty, they would have told you the sixth time, but by golly, when she asks them the eighth time, they take her up on it. And so it's like, she's able to see that, okay, maybe they weren't thirsty then, but it's been X amount of time and they may be hungry now. They may be thirsty. They may want, you know, this drink topped off. They may want, you know, this extra blanket, you know, 'cause it's kind of cooling off, you know, it's just a different mindset. And I think that if it's a gift, where God is doing some supernatural enabling, I think it's kind of like we've already talked about. It's like an extra dose. It's just an unusual display that goes beyond normal manners, politeness, and normal exuding of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is a supernatural exuding of God coming out of these people.
I don't know. Do you think this could be a gender-specific gift?
I think it's a personality-specific gift for sure. That, you know, I really do. I like hosting. I like having people around. Sorry, there was a really loud thunder. I like hosting, and I think I'm somewhat hospitable. But I mean, Rachel's just on another level, and I don't think I'm rude. I might you know, come across through to somebody, you know, but, you know, I think this is a, you know, there's personalities that are kind of wired in a way that God's gifted and, you know, designed in a way that, that fit this in a way that, you know, I don't think you do or I do. And yet I think you and I do have manners and politeness, and I think we're compassionate and courteous, you know, we have common courtesy and stuff like that. But, you know, I would say you and Dale operate very differently. And Dale has got, you know, it seems to me that she's got this gifting, and it seems to me that Rachel has this gifting. And so it complements you and I real well.
Well, listen, to all our listeners out there, if you're going to chime in on this, I'm going to give you four verses to take a look at, and then you can kind of let us know. And you find others, that's fine. But take a look at Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. Take a look at Romans 12, 13. And then take a look at Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. And then take a look at 1 Peter, chapter 4. Verse 8 through 11 or 12.
Yeah.
So take a look at those four and let us know what you think. Is hospitality part of giving generosity? Is it a separate spiritual gift, or is it just an indication that somebody is much more friendly than I am?
Man, I hope they don't come back with that one. That'll be discouraging.
All right. Well,
this is good.
We just broke 40 minutes on this, Brian. I don't think we should probably go into any other spiritual gifts today. We can probably wrap up next week. What do you think?
Yeah, we've got four more. So I definitely, you know, for sure, let's do it. Let's do this next time, and we'll be able to, you know, I think the depth we've gone into on these has been good. And there's a couple. Next week, we'll be doing administration, which is fairly quick. Helps, which is fairly quick. We'll talk about faith, and we'll talk about service. So those two could potentially take a little more time. So that'll be fun. Before we wrap up, Bob, I would like to add, you know, I meant to add this kind of toward the beginning and maybe even every week kind of reiterate this, but you just listed a lot of good scripture for hospitality, which is very good. I just want to add that there's kind of three passages that's kind of your standard go-to passages when it comes to spiritual gifts. And I feel like we probably should have covered this before. And I think we've referenced these the past couple of times, but not directly in this sense. So I just want to cover this. You know, kind of your standard three go-to passages are 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter. Then Romans chapter 12, mostly verses 3 through 8, but there's a little more on either side of that. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Again, kind of a little more on either side of that as well. But those three passages, those three places are, if you want, not examples of the gifts being used, but you want lists of the gifts and maybe what they're for, stuff like that, maybe some direction about the gifts, that's where we're going to find the big lists and things like that. And obviously each gifting may have different places in scripture. For example, we talked about tongues, and we were hardly in any of these. We were in 1 Corinthians 14 rather than 12 for the most part. So there's places outside of these, but these are kind of, you know, if you wanted to memorize, you know, these three passages, these are the three standard go-to for virtually any gift. This is where you're going to start.
Right. Exactly. The only one outside of that, that after you've got these down, like you said, would be 1 Corinthians 14. Mm-hmm. I gave for a hospitality, I gave 1 Peter, because he actually speaks specifically to that.
Yeah.
But I think that was a good conversation on these four spiritual gifts. Do you have anything to add or any final thoughts for this podcast today?
I thought it was good. This was fun. You know, we talked about originally, you know, are we going to do all eight? Are we going to do, you know, kind of split it up and do one extra week? And I think God made it real clear to us right as we got started that it'd be best to, you know, let's cover it in a little more detail. And, you know, we're not in a hurry here, so we can wrap it up next week, and then we'll go from there.
Definitely have to fix our definition of that hospitality one. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but the definition said the welcoming environments for others in places such as your home, and the S in others was moved over. And I couldn't figure out what I was reading. I read welcoming environments for other sin places such as your home.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. Sinful places, Bob. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that S was in the wrong place. Should be at the end of others.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no, I thought we covered it well. Yeah, very good.
All right. Well, should we close in prayer?
Well, brother, I think we've covered it well. We'll be back next week to finish this, and then after that, we aren't totally sure where we're headed. So, you know, once more, let's solicit people to contribute. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, any ideas, please let us have it. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love, if there's any confusion or questions that exist in any of those of you who are listening, we'd love to tackle some of those things. Absolutely. So Bob, how about you close us in a word of prayer, and then we'll say goodbye.
Sounds good. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together today, to be able to get together with my brother Brian and to all our church family. It's just a wonderful to be able to do something for you and spend some time talking about your word and just getting into that. We miss meeting together. We miss the interpersonal relationships with personally getting together with others. And yet we thank you so much for still allowing us the ability to be able to reach out and talk to others and share the word and share the gospel. We are truly blessed, Father. We ask you to continue blessing our church here in Boquete, blessing our family, Boquete Family Church, and its that congregation. Help them as they go through this period of isolation. Help them just to remember you every day, just to remember your glorious Son, to spend time in the Word, and to just find their solace and their comfort there. Yes. We lift this up to you, Father, today, as we lift all things up in the glorious name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bob. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you next week.
All right, brother. Take care. And take care to all of you.
All right. Bye-bye.